People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note here on Fine Music Radio. We're going to be talking art today, and I wonder if you've seen a new mosaic sculptural foundation which has been installed at Spear called Utomi. It's the work of Lizette Shirima, who's my guest today. And Lizette, Maputo-born, Cape Town-based, her works are held in a number of collections throughout South Africa, as well as Spain, Portugal, and Italy. And these pieces, often taking the form of detailed fabric collages, reflect her sometimes tumultuous life's journey. We're going to find out about that. Having grown up on the coast, she often references water and other elements of nature in her work, and she's informed by a keen awareness of the negative impact humans can have on the environment, and she hopes to inspire and evoke positive changes through her art. So, Lizette, welcome. Welcome to Fine Music Radio.
Thank you.
You said, I mentioned there that you were born in Maputo, so Mozambique is your home country. What made you come down to Cape Town?
I was actually born in Nampula, North Mozambique.
Oh, okay.
Not in Maputo.
Far north? Or?
Yes, far north Mozambique. And what made me come to Cape Town is that I was trying to find myself, find a space where I can be who I was born to be. And being in Mozambique as an artist, a female artist, is not easy because we don't have so much market there. Then my instinct just told me to come to Cape Town, and I come to realize that they call Cape Town the capital of art. So I feel it is, because I'm here, I can live as an artist, I have a decent life, and my work is being appreciated, and I have lots of opportunities and lots of things coming my way.
Do you think that Cape Town is the sort of place that inspires you, lets your creativity sort of fly, gives you more sort of impetus, that sort of thing?
Yes, for sure, for sure. There's a lot of creativity in Cape Town, and there's lots of opportunities and motifs to stretch my abilities of creativity. And I have lots of inspiration, so I often have to challenge myself because I see so many beauty and many creative people, and I have lots of inspiration.
Now, what I want to ask you is, on a few of the things I've read about you, you've spoken about a fairly turbulent background.
Yes.
That presumably was in Mozambique, was it?
Yes.
Was it family orientated, or was it just general in life, or was it something more specific?
It began in my family. I was a child, and I was born. I was with my mom. My father left my mom. She was pregnant, and then 7 years later, I came to meet him, and then I began to live with him, with his other family, his wife, and so then is when I start to experience a lot of aggressivity. Like, they were very aggressive with me, and they mistreated me a lot. They beat me every single day. So that made me find a refuge inside myself. I didn't trust the nature, didn't trust anything, because the place where it's supposed to be safe wasn't safe for me. Mm-hmm. So then is when I closed myself on my shell, and I just lived, and I didn't experience any kind of love, because everything was, I was afraid of everything, because they made me feel I wasn't allowed even to breathe, you know. So after that, I grew up, and I had my child when I was 19 years old. Then is when I experienced the feeling of love, you know, with my first born child. Then I start to realize, like, how it feels to love something, to love someone, or and to be loved. So, and then I decided to leave my father's place, And then I come to encounter again other kind of abuse from outsiders because of the energy I was carrying. Actually, I didn't clean my energy, so I tend to attract always people who abused me. And because the abuse was coming from my home, somehow I thought it was okay to be abused. So I normally accept to be abused because I thought that's how it's supposed to be, until I come to realize that, no, this can stop, you know, because it doesn't feel right, you know. People, when abuse me, I feel sad, I feel down, depressed. So there should be other way to be in life, you know. Then is when I start to find my voice. And when I began to make art, my energy start to change. I start to find the self-love and my voice, and I decide to quit all my friends, to stop seeing the friends that they were abusing me, and start from beginning. And what I did is, like, I was lucky enough to find a place on my own where there was a garden, and the garden was my therapy. I work with plants a lot, and that was my therapy. And all my neighbors, they were so impressed with my garden because it was so beautiful.
Because you cared about it,
yes,
so much.
Yes, yes.
Now, I want to find out more about how you got into art and also this island you went to live on.
Yeah.
But let's take our first music break, Lizette. And I see you've chosen Miriam Makeba, yeah, a song called Aluta Continua.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about why you've chosen her. I mean, we know what an artist she was, but what does she mean to you, for example?
For me, she's a powerful woman. She's very influential and very inspiring woman. Whenever I feel down or I feel with less energy, I play Miriam Makeba. She recharges my energy, and her words, they make me feel alive and positive. And I chose this song especially because she sings about Mozambique. Yeah, that's it.
My people, open your eyes and answer the call of the drum. Frelimo, Frelimo, Samora Mashe, Samora Mashe has come. Maputo, Maputo, home of the brave, our nation will soon be as one. Frelimo, Frelimo, Samora Mashe, Samora Mashe has won. All thy children shall reap. son. This continent is a home. My brother and sisters, stand up and sing. Eduardo Montani is not gone. Frelimo, Frelimo, your eternal flame has shown us the light of dawn.
Well, there, the voice of Miriam Makeba. That song apparently about Mozambique called A Luta Continua. And the first choice of my guest on People of Note here on Fine Music Radio this week, the artist Lizette Sherima. Lizette, you've mentioned the word energy a few times. This energy that you talk about, has it always been with you, even when you were very young and sort of suffering abuse from your father and his wife? I suppose I'm trying to find out what you mean by energy.
Energy, yeah, is the vibration. I'm a very sensitive person, but at the time I wasn't tuned in. I was still locked in. I wasn't tuned into nature until something happened. Something very special happened. I met a friend that had a resort in by the beach, and I was on that very dark moment where I couldn't trust anyone. I was just in love with my God and my daughter. And he invited me to spend some time in that resort. And there is when I start to come to face my demons, because I was afraid. I never saw the sun or the moon. I never looked up. I was always down. So it felt like I was in a really dark space. Then on that place, when I arrived there, I felt the peace. Just when I landed there, I felt very peaceful. And it happened that my friend, he left, and the place was huge. It was like so many houses. But then it felt like I was in an island alone. You know, he left me alone. So I had no choice by facing my demons. Mm. And that place, there was no energy, electricity. It was by generator, and we had to switch off the generator at 6 o'clock to save the petrol. We just switch on for the fridge a little bit, and then we switch off. So I was in constant in a darkness, and all I heard was the sound of the ocean. So then is when I start to ask myself, why am I afraid of? I never saw a monster. I never saw something that made me fear. What it is that I'm really afraid of in this nature? And then the other voice came and said, no, you're actually afraid of your mother nature. And then the other voice said, but how can you be afraid of mother nature? Because mother, she's there to love you and protect you. Then is when I start to crack the first crack of my shell to come out. So, and then I made a challenge to myself. And for the first time, I remember on that day, it was 22 of February of 2004, when I first saw the sunrise in my life. Yeah. So, because it was really clear from the sea, that was so powerful and very joyful. And then I've decided to every single day wake up before the sunrise to see the sunrise, to see the sunset, to see the moon rise. You know, I won't see the moon set, of course, but I'll see the moon rise. I'll follow. Then is when I start to tune in with all my energy. And I decided to face all my fears. I would walk alone in a places with the big trees, and I would run in the thunder rain, and I would go swimming on the ocean alone. I was afraid with all of things, but I made it happen until one day I realized that, you know, I was sleeping on a bungalow, and the last candle went off and was about midnight, and I had to go to toilet. I'm like, oh my God, I have to stand up. And it was
in
all
dark.
All I hear was the sound of the ocean. And I made it to the toilet. And then it's when I realized, like, there's nothing to be afraid of, you know. And I could feel the power of my energy. I could feel all my energy together. And I could sense everybody's energy around me. So I began to be very sensitive, you know. And I spent 4 months in that place. And after, when I returned to Mozambique, I couldn't be with human beings. I was so sensitive because everybody's vibration was affecting me, positive and negative, and everything was affecting me. So it's when I decided to hide myself in a room. I didn't go out. I didn't connect with friends. All I did is just, I put on the candle. I always work with the candle, and I stitch. I stitch. All I did is just do my art.
So you had now started your art.
Yes.
Had you already started your art when you went to the island?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I started, but wasn't so strong.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was always a creative person. I always created. I always liked to recycle things, you know. So, at that place, because there was not so much things to do, all I did is just to create and find materials and be with nature, be with myself, clear myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you were still fairly young at that stage. Like, I think what would you have been in your late teens, early 20s, now that we're talking about?
No, late 20s.
Oh, late 20s, okay.
Yes,
okay.
I'm a grown-up woman.
Okay. Lizette, let's have another piece of music. I think another of your favorites, Salif Keita. Tell me about this person.
Salif Keita, the reason why I love music is that it was another tool of healing, you know. Salif Keita was one of big influential for me. I played him a lot when I was alone, and I often cry. I don't know why, because I don't understand his language, but I believe my soul understands. So it helps me to move on, to keep going, and I really love him. And his story can also resonate with mine also, because he was also rejected.
Where does he come from?
He came from Mali. And because he was albino, the story I know about him is that he belongs to a royal family in Mali. But because he was born albino, he was rejected. So they didn't give him a space to be, but then he made it happen. Today he's ambassador of music of Mali. Thank you.
Well, they're a well-known artist from Mali who, as my guest said, has become internationally famous, Salif Keita, Les Ambassadeurs. And my guest is, in fact, Lizette Shirima, who is an artist, and we're talking about her. And I also mentioned at the beginning, if you've been to Spear recently, you might have seen a new mosaic sculptural fountain installed there called Utomi, which is the work of Lizette. Lizette, you've explained about moving out of your shell, so to speak. So I'd like to know why you work with a particular art that you do, because I read somewhere that you all used to take Hessian coffee sacks that were discarded from cafes, undo them, dye them in different colors so that they become a sort of a canvas. And that, your work is all about stitching and canvases, isn't it, really? Tell me, why that particular art form?
Okay. First of all, the reason why I started to work with Hessian is because I compare Hessian with myself. I see Hessian as a very beautiful fabric. It's a natural, organic fabric, and people often use to transport like coffee and beans and stuff like that. And after they use the sacks, they don't give them a better use. It's almost like they discharge them. And what I saw in Mozambique a lot often is that people use them as a outside carpet to clean the shoes or the feet before they go inside with the dust and rain and stuff like that. So I compare myself with Hessian. It's like, this is how people used to treat me. So then when I decided to transform myself, I transformed the Hessian. I used the Hessian as myself.
Like a symbol of yourself.
Yes. And then I gave it different life. I said, instead of people cleaning the feet, they will use as a decorative, a beautiful things to put in their house. So that's the reason why I chose Hessian. And the symbol of fabric for me is that looking for home. On my experience is like, when a child is born, the first thing he's encountered with is fabric. You know, like they cover the baby with the fabric even before they give it back to the mom. So fabric is something that it makes the baby warm, makes a child warm. So because I never had that place in my life, like I didn't have a home. So I think I'm in search for home when I use fabric.
Okay, but also the work that I've seen on the internet that you do.
Yes.
The stitching part as well, that you said, combining it's all stitching together, almost like
stitching
an analogy
myself.
For stitching yourself
yeah,
together.
I'm stitching myself together because I was broken in pieces. I didn't even know who I am. So in order for me to know who I am, I had to put myself together. And, you know, stitching is like stitching all the broken pieces together, put the puzzle back together. So that's the reason, yeah.
Now, all your work basically is fabric like this and stitching.
Yes.
And yet suddenly you had this challenge of working with mosaics.
Yes.
Which must have been very, very different. And
yes.
I'm almost surprised you agreed. I would have thought you'd say, no, I'm not going to touch this hard, this hard stuff.
I won't never disagree unless it's something impossible. Because I like to challenge myself. It's always nice to come out of your comfort zone to see what you are capable of. You know? Mm-hmm. So this is was one of the challenges I had to face. And obviously, I didn't work alone on it. You know, there was a team behind. So all I had to do is like come up with a design that could work on the mosaic. And it worked very well.
So you didn't actually have to cut and chisel in?
No. There was a team behind that.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was your design that they then copied onto the mosaic.
Yes.
How did it come about? How did you get a commission to do that for Spear?
They just called me. It was two fountains to be done. And there was about four artists to be chosen or for competition, I don't know. So I gave my proposal, I designed my fountain, and it was chosen. It was the one chosen. And that was so overwhelming for me.
You called it Otomi, which apparently means life. Yes. Why did you call it Otomi?
Because water is life. Fountain is it's somewhere where the water comes, and for me, water it's a symbol of life. Mm-hmm. And because I found my life in the water also, and I heal in the water.
The time that you were alone on that island when you were talking about earlier, and all you could hear was the sound of the sea.
Yes,
obviously that's had a big impact on you, that experience, and that's why
water is very,
very much strong.
But it comes. It's more deeper than that, because in my family, like my father's family, my father's side family, it's we belong to the water in a way. Like my grandfather, he used to have a land where he was born. His land, there was a place where there was a reservoir or there was a water, and they told me, like, a Chaka Zulu's warrior, when they ran to Mozambique, they went to camp in my grandfather's land, because it was the only place where they could have a water. And then the story repeats. When my father grew up, he found a place in Maputo, and that they had the spring water. So he feeds all the community. Everybody in the area come to my house to get water. I also have that energy. I noticed that when I grew up. I had a friend that there was a time I was not in a very good space, and they invited me to spend some time with their house, and they were about 2 weeks without water. There was something wrong with the water, so they had to go down and fetch water and come. And the day I landed, I put my feet in the house, the water came, and
really?
They all come to hug me. Ah, thank you for bringing water. For me, it makes sense because of that. And the other day, I was in this woman's house, and she was mistreating me, and I was very nervous. And suddenly, she was dealing with water, and suddenly she forgot the tapes, and she was outside. When she comes, the house was flooded, and she comes straight to me. She's like, "Why are you doing that to me?" So for me, it's like there's something about water with me, and I feel very peaceful when I'm around the water. Every time I'm down and I go to the ocean, I feel peace. So
staying in Cape Town actually is perfect for you.
It's perfect for me because it doesn't only have water, but mountains and forest, everything I need to feed my soul.
And does a mountain, you know, people speak of the energy that Table Mountain kind of radiates, you know, the sort of new age people. Do you feel that as well?
Yes, yes, yes. I am a mountain girl. Now I'm so sad that I can't go up the mountain, but my joyful moments is when I take long walks. Like I used to take Sundays, every Sunday I'll go for long walks, like 9 hours walk to Table Mountain. I'll go to Devil's Peak, I'll go to Lion's Head. I've done all these mountains and outside Cape Town, so there is where I find the peace. I will go from Newlands walking,
and also inspiration, I presume, not only peace but makes you want to come back to your studio and work.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, here there's a lot of tension in the city, lots of stress, lots of tension, lots of pollution. But then Cape Town is so special because it allows us to escape. So mountains and oceans and everything is like escape for you to go to recharge your battery and come to face, to be strong for one more week, and then you go back. So
yeah, I understand. Is that your next piece of music? John Coltrane, My Favorite Things. Tell me why. Is there a story behind this?
I love John Coltrane. It's very peaceful, and it takes me to my inner space and very calm. It makes me calm, so that's why I chose him.
Thank you.
That was John Coltrane, a piece called My Favorite Things. And another choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note, the artist Lizette Shirima. And I've mentioned this mosaic sculptural fountain and spear called Life Utomi. And we've also discovered, Lizette, that you work with stitching, with fabrics, all that sort of thing, which you then dye and create these wonderful sort of collages, for want of a better word. But I also just, since we've just finished some music, you mentioned how important music is to you, and because we're a music station, do you spend a lot of time listening to music? I mean, would you listen to music, for example, when you're working?
It's all I do. I listen. I have to be with music, you know. Music is something that inspires me a lot, and then it motivates me, and it feeds my soul. I don't have to understand what they're talking about, because I believe the soul is universal, understands all the languages.
And music is a universal language,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes. So then I understand, even I don't understand the word, but my soul understands. So that's how I feed myself.
Did you ever learn an instrument, or did you ever want to play anything, or do you just enjoy the sound of music?
I have an instrument. My voice is my instrument.
Ah, okay.
I have a voice that can sing. And sometimes I use it when I perform. I chant.
When you perform, like,
yes,
when you're doing
do,
an exhibition.
I do a live performance. Yeah, I'm also a performer.
Oh, I see. So your art exhibitions would entail not only people looking at your work, but watching and listening to you.
Sometimes, yes.
Is it related to the work of art that you do, you're chanting, or is it
related,
not necessarily?
Not necessarily, but sometimes it's related to the work of art. But I also raise a voice for women, you know. Because
yes, I saw that. You're a bit of an activist in that sense,
yes,
aren't you?
Because on my experience, I have encountered women abused a lot, you know, women, child, and... So I feel on my experience, we're living the way we live because woman, she's mistreated, and woman, she's the mother, and she's the creator of the nation. And how come we don't give her space? We always tend to think everything wrong is because of a woman. So because woman, she's crying, the universe is crying, and the energy is wrong, everybody's killing everybody, and the humanity is dying because humanity is not paying so much attention on the female side.
But you also said, by the way, just on that paying attention on the female side, you also, I think, are very aware of the environment.
Yes.
Like you say, humans are actually seriously damaging the environment.
Yes, yes. I don't want to sound harsh, but... Ever since, the world is on the hands of a man, and look where we are.
I best keep quiet and
move on. I'm sorry.
But you know what I wanted to ask you when you spoke about music and sound? How do you react to silence, just as a matter of interest?
The silence is also very important, because sometimes I get in that space where I don't want to hear any sound. I just want to hear the sound of my breath and the silence. The silence is also a sound. It provides a sound. I don't know how I can explain. It's something very calming, very peaceful, and it's when you allow yourself to be in tune with the universe, with nature. So this is where I believe is when I'm in contact with God. Because then I allow him to come. There's no interferences.
So have you got a spiritual side to you?
I do, but not a specific.
We're going to have another piece of music now. Nina Simone, her famous song, My Baby Just Cares For Me.
And races, my baby don't care for.
even Lana Turner smile. Something he can't see. My baby don't care, who knows? My baby just cares for me.
Famous song by Nina Simone, My Baby Just Cares For Me, and another choice of my guest, Lizette Shirima, who's an artist, as you've discovered in the course of our chat. Lizette, just before we end, the important thing actually is, where can people see your work? Is there an exhibition coming up, or where can people go and see your work?
Well, I'm a part of group exhibitions in town. There's a gallery, I'm at UCT at the moment, and there's a gallery in Waterfront.
And that's where your stuff is?
For now, it's just like one piece, but I have this big exhibition coming at Stellenbosch University, the gallery of Stellenbosch University, and it will be in January. Sometimes
where people will be able to see a lot of your work in one place.
Yes, I'm building a body of work at the moment.
Okay, for that particular exhibition.
Yes, yes.
All right, and you still obviously get invited to exhibit overseas and all that, and people buy your work from elsewhere as well.
Yes, I am a part of a big exhibition in Norway. Mm-hmm. This big museum in Norway, and I have a gallery in Portugal and in Berlin and London.
So you travel around a bit as well.
Somehow, yes.
Well, it's been an interesting experience listening to your journey that you've shared with us, from your sort of unsteady childhood in Mozambique to what you're doing now, pretty much at peace with things in many respects, and working hard for women's rights, for the environment, and for yourself with the stitching, which continues, I presume.
Mm. Now I'm not only stitching myself, but I'm stitching the world together.
Ah, there you are. You see, okay. Lizette, you've chosen Andrea Bocelli as your last piece.
Yes.
Is this a voice you like? I mean, I know it's time to say goodbye, literally, because we're going to say goodbye to you now, but is this something special to you?
Yeah, he's a special human being. I really like him, and despite that this is... is a blind guy. He has a very powerful voice and a powerful message to give. So I really like him.
Okay, so we're going to end now with Andrea Bocelli. And my guest on People of Note this week has been Lizette Sharima. So watch out in January next year when you can go to Stellenbosch to the gallery there and see a special exhibition. Lizette, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Sogno all'orizzonte mancano le parole. Sì, lo so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Se non ci sei tu con me, sì. Le finestre mostrano tutto il mio cuore che è acceso. Chiudi dentro me la luce che ho incontrato per strada.
Sogno all'orizzonte manca le parole. Io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me. Mio sole, tu sei qui con me, con me.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hi, this is Peter Dirk Ace. My new show, Hashtag He2, is at Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay from the 28th of August to the 14th of September with me and Evita Posada together on stage at the same time. Listen, I'm whispering because she's outside the door. And if she hears, she'll also want to talk to you. And you know, once she starts, she can never stop. So go Book a CompuTicket now before she gets in the public protector. And oh, hell, here she is. Hello, Danny.